Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 14 of Classic Elite, the podcast for casual gamers from the Elite generation. I am Tony here, and I would love to point over. You'll have to imagine the pointing, but I would love to point to the closet and say I'm here with my friend Scott. But unfortunately, he was hit by a deer. I'm just kidding. My friend Scott is not here this week. He's on vacation. He's probably on the beach right now, drinking lemonade, not thinking at all about Classic Elite. But anyways, I'm here recording episode 14 on my own, and I'm pumped to be doing that. It'll be a good time. And Scott, my friend, we miss you. We love you. We care for you, and we're getting way too emotional about you. So anyways, I'm going to keep moving on. This week on this week's show, I have a special guest, my friend Jeremy. He lives a couple hours away from me, and he is one of the first true Sony fanboys that I've met. And so I'll be bringing Jeremy in to talk about his passion for Sony gaming very soon, and it'll be cool. So you'll have to forgive me this week if I just seem a little befuddled. I just don't know how to do this without Scott, but it's all good. So, all right, I'm going to start with a little bit of a modern portion this week. I'm going to start with Madden NFL 2011. Came out 2 days ago on Tuesday. Got a really crappy review from IGN. Got an 8 out of 10. Madden, what is going on? IGN was just speaking about how it didn't like a lot of some of the new features just didn't seem to pan out very well. And they acted like a lot of players would be frustrated with some of the changes that they made. And Madden's one of those franchises that's kind of like a double-edged sword. People want it to change and get better every year, but then some of the hardcore players don't want it to change that much because they're highly competitive. It would be like if someone tried to make Street Fighter completely 3D, it would just be really hard to mesh some of the tournaments and some of the scenes like that with mesh those together. So Madden, I'm interested to try you out because I'm not really sure how it's going to pan out this year. 8 out of 10 isn't very good from IGN. They usually give you high 8s or low 9s. So write into us, classiclead@gmail.com, and let us know what you think of Madden this year. It'll be interesting to see what some of our listeners think. Another thing I was thinking about a lot this week was the PlayStation Portable. There's been a lot of rumors of a new PSP being announced, possibly to be released before or around the same time as the Nintendo 3DS, which everyone is raving about. I just don't know how much I want to see PSP live on. I go through these phases, and I have a PSP, and I go through these phases of, man, it sounds cool, I want to really enjoy it, and then I just start to play it, and I just don't enjoy the system that much. Even some of the best games, I've played some of the Metal Gears on there, I've played a couple of the really good racing games, and I really just struggle to enjoy the PSP, and I think mainly because of the clunky interface and the really rough controls. It just doesn't have the best control scheme in the world, and I've heard other gamers speak of those same issues. And so the PSP, I'm really struggling to wonder if it's going to survive another generation. I think everyone knows that the PSP Go is a real big failure. Sony went to rely on downloadable content. People couldn't transfer their UMD games to the new system. So if you had an old PSP and you had, you know, 50 games on UMD and you bought a new PSP Go, you would have to repurchase those games on digital content, and there was no way to transfer those to the new PSP console. So Sony, you're really going to have to amaze us with a new version of the PSP if you want us to stay focused for another generation. I know that you have a new ad marketing campaign, but it doesn't change the fact that the PSP is really just struggling as a system. So it'll be interesting to see which way the PSP goes. And I tell you what, even though I don't like this version of the PSP or the last couple versions with the Go and the Slim, it'll be interesting, and I'll always pay attention just in case they catch my attention with a new version that I really like. So another thing I really wanted to talk about this week on the modern portion of our show is I really wanted to talk about the new Call of Duty Black Ops that's coming out. They just announced some new multiplayer modes today, but really, I don't want to focus too much on just the title of Call of Duty, but there's this whole thing focusing out there with first-person shooters between Call of Duty and the Halo franchise, and there's a big argument which one is better. And I know some people also like to throw Killzone in there, and Killzone's good, but the two that have dominated the market clearly are Call of Duty and the Halo franchise, and a lot of people go back and forth between which one is better. And I personally, you know, really when first-person shooters were in their prime, you know, when the first Halo came out, and you know, some of the later Dooms and things like that on the original Xbox and some on the PS2. I grew up playing Halo in that essence, I mean, through that boom. And Halo is a completely different game than Call of Duty. And one of the things that I'm frustrated with overall, and I want to talk about today, and I wish Scott was here to discuss this with me, is the reality that I feel like first-person shooters are just getting redundant. I feel like they're just getting old in a lot of ways. I was really excited to see what was done with BioShock. I thought that was a little innovative. I'm really excited to see Cliffy B's new project from Epic for PS3 called Bulletstorm. That looks really creative. I just am kind of really bored with the Call of Duty and the Halo franchise. I hardly played ODST at all. I got really bored with Modern Warfare 2, and I know a lot of people... A lot of our fans are going to probably freak out about me saying that, but the reality is they just feel redundant. No matter how many new features they add, they seem small and minuscule, and then they get really old really fast, and it feels like you're playing the same game. And another thing I see is a lot of hardcore players complain when the new versions come out because they feel like they spent so much time getting to know the franchise, and then they try to change it just a little bit or tweak some things that they really enjoyed. And some of those guys and gals are just fanboys and girls, and they just need to be quiet anyways. But the reality is I feel like the first-person shooter genre is getting really boring and redundant between the two. So, Cliffy B, if you're out there, please hear us. Give us something awesome with Bulletstorm, something that's going to change up the pace a little bit, because I'm really bored with Call of Duty. I'm really bored with Halo. Even though I love both those games, I play every new version of them, the reality is they just don't keep my attention as long as they used to. I'd love to hear your opinions on first-person shooters and what you think about the difference between Call of Duty and Halo. So drop us a message and we'll get to it and hopefully hear some good responses on that. The last part of the modern portion for this week is the deal of the week, and I've been playing Mass Effect 1 for the original Xbox because everyone continues to rave about Mass Effect 2, and it's been out for a couple months, and the price just dropped to $30. So if you want to play Mass Effect 2, the price just dropped to $30 on Amazon. You can get it for around $27 brand new or $18 used with $3 shipping. So that's the deal of the week this week, is check out Mass Effect 2 if you haven't. It's one of the greatest role-playing games for the Xbox 360, and I think you'll really enjoy it. So that ends the modern portion for this week's show. I'm going to ask my friend Jeremy to hop on the line now. Jeremy, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Awesome. I'm sorry, folks. He normally doesn't sound that cheesy, but that's cool. So I'm just kidding. What's up, man? How you doing?
Oh, I'm good, man. I'm sitting here watching a crappy movie on HBO. It's something with Matthew McConaughey. I will say the man has nice abs, but, you know.
All his movies have been crappy since Dazed and Confused.
True.
Mm-hmm. I love them redheads.
That's right.
So anyways, I'm here with Jeremy. And, Jeremy, thanks for being on the show this week.
Glad to.
I feel really weird because my friend Scott is out of town, but I don't mean that in kind of a weird kind of way. I just mean it just feels weird. So, but anyway, he's out of town, and I thought it'd be good to have a friend on here to talk about some video games with. And so, Jeremy, you're the first True Blood Sony fanboy that I met. So tell me a little bit. When did you start playing video games, and what was your first system?
My first system was a Nintendo, the original Nintendo, Mario 1, Duck Hunt. And I don't know, I think I was probably 9.
Probably 9? 10. Okay.
Yeah, I got it a while afterward. I remember playing it so much, my dad called from work and wanted to talk to Mom, and I was like, okay, I'll go get her. Set the phone down, and I went and I played Mario for the next half hour.
Totally forgot.
Oh, crap, my dad.
Nice.
My dad called. And, of course, I went back to the phone, and he wasn't there. I still feel a little bit bad about that to this day, but I think they got over it 20 years ago.
Yeah, that's totally cool. So, yeah, I totally have some stories like that from childhood, is just allowing video games to completely preoccupy my time. So
yeah, that Rad Racer and Excitebike, man.
Oh, gosh.
That was the good stuff.
Good stuff. It was like crack. It was like crack for sheltered kids like us.
Right.
So. I gotcha. That's cool. Well, you obviously have played video games most of your life, and you have a family now, and so I'm sure all that stuff has changed a little bit. But like I said, you're the first True Blood Sony fanboy that I've met in real life, and so tell me a little bit about your history with Sony.
I actually didn't have much of a history with Sony. When I was in high school, we still only had the Nintendo, and actually my wife... her dad had a PlayStation 1, and I remember going over there actually on our first date, and we sat down, I mean, not the whole date, this wasn't the whole date, but before we left to go to dinner and a movie, we sat down and we played Mortal Kombat 4 on the PS1, and I'd been playing like at my friend's Mortal Kombat 2, Mortal Kombat 3 for Super NES and stuff.
Yeah.
But Mortal Kombat 4 on the PS1 and the whole 3D thing, and then it just changed everything. So that was my first thing with PlayStation. So I guess actually my wife and her dad started me on PlayStation, and of course PS1 was out before the original Xbox was. So that's where everybody was, and then from there we went with PS2. That was actually one of the first things Kristen and I ever bought together, I think.
Okay.
We bought a PS2 and then we bought a trailer to live in.
Oh yeah. So you gotta have priorities. And the PS
That's right.
The PS2 costs more than the trailer, right?
Substantially.
I gotcha. So you've been playing Sony for a while. What would you say is your one of the things that Sony does really well is they have a great great list of A-list of first party titles that only are owned by Sony Entertainment, only developed for Sony systems. What's your favorite?
You know, I would have to say hands down, to begin with, was probably God of War. I still think that whole God of War trilogy is just fantastic. But with the PS3, the Uncharted franchise has been phenomenal. And the whole Metal Gear franchise has been great from the get-go as well, man. I mean, those three are probably my top ones right there. But God of War probably trumps it all right now.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because I've always been more of an Xbox guy, but you obviously know for the past year I've owned a PS3.
Right.
And the main reason I wanted one was because of those A-list titles. I remember I went my wife and I went to visit your house, and you introduced me to Heavenly Sword, which I always kind of made fun of. Because like the ratings were kind of crappy on that game.
Uh-huh.
And I remember this is back before, I mean, I had an HD TV and stuff, and you had like a 50-inch or 46-inch or something like that.
Yeah, Bravia, yep.
Yeah,
Sony
and,
product.
So Jeremy's got this PS3 sitting there with digital surround sound, complete 1080 high def on this beautiful TV, and he introduces me to Heavenly Sword, and I'm like, mess around the first level, and then we stayed for two nights with them, and the next morning, both nights, I woke up at like 4:30 in the morning and was down there playing until 8 trying to beat the game. I was so addicted to it, and that was kind of the moment for me, and I was like, man, I need to get a PS3, so you were the one that kind of pushed me over the edge that way, and since then, I've totally enjoyed Uncharted and totally enjoyed Metal Gear Solid 4. It was awesome, so...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those fantastic games, man. I love them all. People still, like, rip on Heavenly Sword.
Oh, it was good, man.
It was good in its own sense. Man. It was, in fact, that's one of the few games that I haven't sold because I love playing that game.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. So, do you feel like, what systems do you own now?
I have the Wii, I have the 360 that you so kindly provided for me, and then I have the PS3, and also, of course, have, you know, a PC and the iMac.
Yeah.
So I have pretty much all you can own, and a PSP.
Yeah. So.
Speaking of the PSP, your little PSP thing earlier, man, I don't know what's going to happen with that either. I feel the only use for PSP is if I'm laying in bed at night and I want to play a video game, or if I go on vacation.
Yeah, I just can't like the PS3 as much as I want to, or the PSP as much PSP. As I want to. Sorry, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so much of the things. I mean, there's Wi-Fi everywhere. We have Wi-Fi at Bob Evans here in London now, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like, there's just not enough Wi-Fi. So many things on it rely on Wi-Fi, and you just can't find it in enough places, you know. So.
True. True.
That's my experience.
So now that you've branched out to some other consoles, do you think, is Sony still what you play the most, PS3, or do you enjoy the other ones just as equally, or are you still kind of just a fanboy? I'm just kidding.
I enjoy the Wii is fun in its own sense. It's fun when my parents come and, you know, we can all get a thing going, but the Wii's just, you know, everybody knows it's a party game. It has some hardcore titles. I did purchase Mad World, actually, and that was fun, but it was really repetitive. It was funny, though, and it was pretty grotesque, but it was really repetitive after a while. Yeah. The 360, great games. I like some of the games are just as fun. You know, I have Brutal Legend, and I've played the Gears and, you know, the Halo 3, stuff like that, so it has great games in its own sense, but I don't know. When it comes down to it, I just enjoy my PlayStation more.
It's cool, man. That's cool. We've talked
enough. I guess I am kind of a fanboy because I do always.
You're just not gravitate. You're not a flaming fanboy.
Yeah, I'm not a. Yeah, right. I haven't lit myself on fire in the middle of an intersection and branded the PS logo on me.
But that's right down the road.
It is. I've got it outlined on my right butt cheek.
That's right. I got you. Yeah. I got you.
They still got to do the fill-in work.
Well, thanks for that, Jeremy, and I'm so glad you could be on the show. Just go ahead and put your phone on mute, and I'll catch up with you in just a little bit here. I'm going to finish out with the retro portion, and I finally get to do the retro portion since Scott's not here. So it'll be interesting to see what I can come up with for the retro stuff. But thanks again for being on the show, Jeremy.
You're welcome, and good luck, man.
Mm-hmm. Well, for the retro portion this week, I wanted to tell you a little bit about some garage sale deals I got this week. It was pretty exciting. I went to my hometown, and they had a historic Lincoln Highway, old Route 30, which if you're not from the northern United States, you have no clue what that is, but it's an old interstate, that old two-lane interstate that runs east to west pretty far, and they had garage sales on the 5th and 6th of August. And so I went to my hometown, which Lincoln Highway runs through, and parked at my mom's house and just walked up and down the street checking out all the garage sales. And it was crazy. I found some crazy, insane people trying to sell stuff. Someone was trying to sell Age of Empires 3 and Half-Life 2 on PC CD-ROM used for $10 a piece or $15 a piece. And they were like, yeah, we'd go down to like 5 or 6 a piece. I'm like, you guys are dreaming. And they also wanted a $86 or $85 for a used PS2, the old model, with one controller and one like crappy Mickey Mouse game. $85. There are 100 new in the store for the slim model. And so the cool thing was is I walked across the street, and there's this lady has like this trailer, like this mini flea market set up, and she's got this whole box of video games. I mean, I'm talking original Nintendo, Super Nintendo games, strategy guides, and there's a PS2 sitting beside the box. And I'm never afraid to ask for lower prices. And on the box, she has $50. And I went up to her. I said, will you take $25 for the box? She said, well, it comes with the PS2 as well. I said, are you serious? She goes, yeah. And I said, I'll give you 40. She goes, I'll take 40. And so I got a working PlayStation 2, a working Super Nintendo, a working original Nintendo, and over 20 games for the two Nintendo systems I got for $40. What a great deal, especially in the retro collection. And so my retro collection is definitely growing, and I'm pretty excited about that. It's pretty awesome. So the other thing I wanted to talk about is Scott and I got addicted to NBA Jam Tournament Edition a couple weeks ago on our Sega Genesis emulator. And I would love to have someone write into the show who knows how to play online with the Sega Genesis emulator, because I would love to take on some of our listeners in the NBA Jam Tournament Edition 32X version on the Sega Genesis emulator. If you would like to do that, that would be so awesome, and I would love to play you, and I know Scott would too, but we had a real competitive game. It was tons of fun, and I did beat Scott. Buzzer beater last second. I can't help it. Alonzo Mourning just rains down, you know, from the three land. It was awesome. It was a really good time. So him and I pulled out our Hori EX2 fight sticks, hooked them into the computer. They installed the drivers. We mapped out the joy pads, and we played with the arcade fight sticks from NBA Jam Tournament Edition. And if you don't know, there's a new version of NBA Jam being packaged for the Xbox 360, the Wii, and the PS3, and I believe it's being sold separately as a download on the Wii. It's also being sold as, I think it comes packaged with EA's new NBA game for the other two systems. So that's kind of a bummer, and of course you leave it to EA for some sort of ripoff like that, in my mind. But they probably know that if they just put it on the arcade, everyone would buy that, and no one would buy the crappy NBA game they have. So it would be awesome to play some of our listeners out there in NBA Jam Tournament Edition. Scott and I will be setting up some tournaments. Let us know if you want to play, and we'll figure out some way to play online, and it'll be a lot of fun. The other thing, I wanted to tell you another retro thing that happened to me this week, is I was looking around Craigslist, and I found 3 full-size, great-condition arcade machines right out of the 1980s, and one of them, Cabal, still works. And I found 3 of them for $100, and they have the original parts inside. And so I purchased those with a friend, and we are going to be stripping them down and making them into MAME arcade machines, holding thousands and thousands of games. So I'll be sure to post pics of before and after. If you have any ideas you would like to write in, that would be really cool. And so I'm excited to see how that arcade machine project goes. My friend and I have already done one of them, and we're looking forward to doing 3 more. So we're going to keep one and then sell the other one. But we're going to have some sweet full-size retro arcade machines in our houses, and I'm really looking forward to that. So that's all I have for this week. Episode 14 of Classic Leet. Make sure to follow us on Twitter, Classic Leet. That's Classic L337. You can also look us up on Facebook and become a fan of our page. And you can go to our new website, which is classicleet.com. That's www.classicleet.com. It will direct you. You can listen to our episodes, download from there. And I want to thank Scott personally for working on that site and getting it up and running. Also, the favorite thing that we love to do is just be on MyGNet Radio. You can check us every week out live on MyGNetRadio.com. It's the Gamers Network Radio, and we are on at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. MyGNetRadio.com, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and we're followed by the Retro Review Show, which is another awesome show you can check out. So thanks to all of our listeners this week, and we will see you next week. I'ma be. I'ma be on the next level. I'ma be rocking over that bass treble. I'ma be chilling with my mother crew. I'ma be making all them deals you wanna do. I'ma be up in them A-list flicks, doing one-handed flips, and I'ma be sipping, don't trip, 'cause I'ma be shaking my hips. You gon' be licking your lips. I'ma be taking them pics.
beat them fly.